Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then took the other, just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. These are the words of Robert Frost in his poem, The Road Not Taken. It was published in 1905, and it's famous. You probably had to do an assignment on it in high school English class. And it's famous for a reason. It's because it resonates with us, doesn't it? It's the speaker coming to a fork in the road, not just on his hike, but in life. He's got two roads to choose between, and he needs to decide what road to take. And this is the story of our lives, isn't it? This is the essence of the human experience. It's about a theme that all of us wrestle with. It's about the crossroads. It's about the crossroads. Because like the speaker in this poem, we will all come to a crossroads in life, whether by our choosing or by life choosing for us. And we have to make a decision. The crossroads is a place of decisions. It's a place of choices. And every decision is a road. And every road takes us to a particular destination. So the question is, not only what road will we choose, but to what destination will that road take us? Every road takes us to a destination. You know this, I know this. That sometimes, you know, we look at life. We come to a place along our road where we just stop and we wonder, how did I get here? And it might be out of gratitude. It might be out of regret. But maybe you can look back at your life and see how you got where you are this very morning because of a particular decision that you made at the crossroads. Maybe you can trace back where you are today because of a decision once upon a time to follow a road, for better or for worse. And while every decision is consequential, there are some decisions that are life-altering, that are story-shifting, life-changing, where the story of our life hangs in the balance. And that is what we face at the crossroads. Your story has been shaped at the crossroads, and my story has been shaped at the crossroads. Many of you here sitting today, you have known me for a long time. You've known me as I grew up, you know, just as a teenager in this church. But many of you may be watching online or in Bell County or Somerset right now, and even some of you here in the room, you don't really have any idea who I am. You don't really know anything about my story. And I'll tell you this, that the 30,000 foot overview of my story, if you just look at the cliff notes, it's pretty boring. It's, I would say, predictable. It's not exactly exciting on the surface. I was born into a Christian home with Christian parents, with Christian morals. I went to a Christian school for many years, and I served in this church every single chance that I got. And those of you that know me, you remember the times that I was just running around here doing everything. I still am running around lots of times doing everything, just involved in every way that I could be. And so, you know, a lot of people, a lot of you could see the road that I was headed down. And my vision for my life was to be doing this, to be in full-time ministry one day, for this to be here at the creek, at my home, for it to be my job. And here I am. And for many of you, you know, you invested in me, you recognized that in me, you poured into me, and for that, I cannot thank you enough. You shaped my story. So for many of you, it's not a surprise that I am where I am this morning. But it is a surprise to me, because what you may not know, and what you, I don't think anybody really knows outside of a handful of people, is that in the fall of 2017, at my first year of college at the University of Kentucky, I came to a crossroads. I decided to take this class that was taught by a professor that everybody raved about. He got, you know, all 5 stars on Rate My Professor. You know, great class. And I was told that it, you know, not only was the class easy because the exams were easy, I was told that the content was really interesting, so you're not gonna fall asleep. And it was a one-on-one class, really basic, really straightforward, and it was very interesting. It was all about psychology and sociology, and it was the study of human behavior and interpersonal communication. Fascinating stuff, really, really fascinating. And everybody was telling me, hey, it's the easiest class you'll ever take. But it turned out to be the hardest class that I ever took, because not because the exams were difficult or the content was difficult, but because for the first time in my life, my faith was challenged. For the first time in my life, I wrestled with the possibility that my entire life up to that point had been based on a lie. Because the professor was very passionate about making his points, and he presented, for the first time in my life, compelling evidence to suggest that Jesus was not, in fact, the Son of God who died for the sins of the world, and who died for my sins, and was raised to life. He presented compelling evidence to suggest that not only was that not true, but that God did not, in fact, exist in any form, that there was no God. And like I said, he was passionate about making these points, and he presented a lot of pretty solid evidence to suggest that that was true, that my faith, it was a myth, that it was just a construction of reality, that really we were just a cosmic accident, that there was no purpose for my life, no purpose for anyone's life. Because to consider if that was true, if you follow that to the logical destination, you will arrive at the fact of nothing matters. Everything's just meaningless. That faith, that everything that you might have believed before, it's just a lie. And at the age of 18, I faced an existential crisis, something I don't think any 18-year-old should have to face. And I wrestled with this day after day after day after day. The vision that I had for my life, the hope that I had for my life, the basis of my life, it was shaken. It was starting to crack at its foundations. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't have anything to base it off of. I realized that my faith, it was just borrowed. It wasn't my own. And I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was depressed and anxious all the time, every single day. I couldn't even think about anything else. It's a wonder I didn't flunk out that first year, because that was my life. Inside of me, I was just wasting away at the possibility that my life didn't matter. And I was scared. And I was confused. I was lost. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't tell anybody that, because I was embarrassed of that. It was not something that Ethan was supposed to be going through. A guy who has a vision and other people that are encouraging him to pursue a life of ministry, how could God ever use a doubter? My faith was weak, it wasn't strong. And my question was, where are you, God? Don't you see me right now? Don't you care? If you're really out there, if you really do exist, why won't you talk to me? Why won't you set me on the right path? Why are you letting me go through this? Because if you are real, how could you ever use a doubter like me? Someone who's lost and confused. I came to the most important crossroads of my life. And I think the most important crossroads that any of us can face. And that is the crossroads of faith. And maybe that's where you find yourself today. I almost tripped. I did squats yesterday for the first time in a long time. I'm a little shaky, so you'll have to forgive me. Reminder to do leg day if you haven't yet. It's good for you. I came to the most important crossroads of my entire life, and maybe that is the crossroads that you face this morning, the crossroads of faith. Maybe, like me, you wonder right now if God sees you, if he's out there at all, if he really does exist. You're coming to a place this morning, and maybe you've been wrestling with it for a while, where two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and you must choose a road. Choose to either go down the road of belief or the road of unbelief, to the road of faith or the road of no faith. Maybe that's you here this morning, and you're like me. Something I didn't know when I was going through all of that is that there is a man that we find in the New Testament, in the Bible, who came to a similar crossroads in life. And his decision at that crossroads, it would determine the trajectory of the rest of his life. And his name was Levi. We're introduced to Levi in the book of Luke, which was a biography of Jesus. We call it one of the four gospels. And Luke introduces us to Levi as a tax collector. He was a customs officer at the port town of Capernaum that bordered on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, why is it so important that we know that this guy is a tax collector? Why does Luke make that the first priority and the thing that we know most about Levi? Well, it's because it tells us everything that we need to know about Levi, about his story, and everything up to this point about his life. Because here's what life was like for Levi, because he was a tax collector. He was one of the most despised people in the first century. People absolutely hated him. He was shunned and disowned by his family and his friends. He was considered a sinner, no good, worthless. He was a traitor. He was a thief. He was filth of the worst kind. He was completely unclean and untouchable. He had no real relationships or friendships outside of the people that were sinners like him. And that was his life. That was his everyday existence. And you might be thinking that that's harsh. And it is. Why is it that way? Because to be a tax collector in that day, if you were a Jewish person and you were a tax collector, that meant that you worked for the enemy. You worked for the oppressing, occupying force of the Roman Empire that every single Jewish person despised. So by extension, you were the enemy. And you worked for the Roman Empire. You would collect imperial taxes, and the system was totally corrupt. Basically, they allowed tax collectors to participate in legalized extortion. So Levi, he had two books, and everybody knew it. He had a book for the Romans, and then the Romans let him have a book for himself. And he would profit and pocket the money of his fellow Jews day after day after day after day, stealing from them in broad daylight. And everybody knew it. And everyone considered him a traitor. And this was the road that Levi had chosen for himself. We know that one day, at some point, Levi came to a crossroads. And he looked down one road, and it had service to God and to his family, to be an upstanding Jewish citizen. And then he looked down the other road, and he saw wealth, comfort, and luxury, and convenience, all the things that were really enticing to him. And Levi, he wasn't stupid. He knew what it would cost him, his family, his friends, his life up to that point. But you know what? He made a decision at that crossroads to choose himself. And so, he chose himself over everyone and everything else and became a tax collector. And I think, you know, for a time he was happy with this decision. But eventually I think that that decision began to weigh on him, because just based on where we find him in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, I think he discovered that that road was not all he thought it was going to be. That that gig, it wasn't everything it was going to be cracked up to be in his mind. And I think he kind of just came to a point where he wondered what it would have been like had he chosen a different road. Maybe he wished that he could go back to the crossroads and make a different decision. But how in the world could he do that? Because when you were branded a traitor, you were always a traitor. There was a black mark on you. You were blacklisted. Everyone knew it. And there was no going back. There was no hope for a guy like Levi. So there was nothing that he could do. There was no exit ramp off of that road that he could take. He was stuck there for good. And so every single day as he sat in his tax booth, profiting off of his own people, he drowned his sorrow in luxury, because this was his lot in life and he couldn't see any way out. But it was about that time that news began to spread. He started hearing from hundreds of people that were at his booth every single day. Stories of a man who was traveling around the Sea of Galilee and that was making his way to Capernaum. Stories of a man who was healing and touching the unclean. Stories of a man who was teaching as no man had taught. Stories of a man who was forgiving sins. Crowds followed him everywhere that he went. This man was famous. His message was that the kingdom of God was at hand. And his name was Jesus of Nazareth. And so Levi was intrigued. This guy, he's touching the unclean? He's forgiving sins? Can't only God do that? He's rewriting people's stories? I wonder if he could ever do that with mine. And what Levi didn't know is that that question was about to be answered. Because one day as Levi was stuck on the road that he had chosen so long ago, sitting in his tax booth, somebody happened to walk by. And Luke, he records it this way. He says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. There he was, Jesus. The crowds were around him. It couldn't be anybody else. And Levi sees him. And Jesus, he's walking along and he stops in his tracks. And he locks eyes with Levi. And Levi's like, what? That's Jesus. That has to be Jesus. And is he looking at me? He was. But he wasn't just looking at Levi. He wasn't just casually glancing at Levi. It says that he saw him. He saw him. And in the original Greek, this word saw, it's translated theomai. Theomai, which means not only to see, but to gaze at. To behold something. To look at something with passion, with intensity. So Jesus, he was locking eyes with Levi, and he wasn't just looking at him. He was beholding him. Levi, in all of his sin, in all of his brokenness, in all of his sorrow, stuck on that road that he had chosen long ago. And as Levi realized what was happening, Jesus would speak two words that changed Levi's life forever. Follow me. follow me. Follow me. And to everyone there that day, from the bystanders that were in the crowd, the people that were in line waiting to be cheated by Levi, to Jesus' disciples that were with him, to the religious leaders that were there that day, everybody was shocked. Everybody, this was unthinkable. They couldn't believe it because this guy was a tax collector, and tax collectors were filth, they were untouchable, they were unclean. No one could believe it. Jesus' followers that were with him at that time, Peter and James and John and Andrew, all these guys were fishermen. And Levi, he was a tax collector on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, where these guys made their living fishing. So it's very likely that all those disciples and Levi, they had some beef. It's more than likely that Levi had cheated them on several occasions. And they're looking at Jesus, they're like, really? This guy? Don't you know who he is? He's a traitor. He's a thief. He's a fraud. He can't follow you. Don't you know who he is? Of course Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he was a traitor. But as he would later tell the religious leaders, that's exactly who he came for. And so he extends Levi the invitation. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me, Levi. Be a part of what I'm doing. Leave your life of sin. Leave behind your mistakes. Leave behind your failures. Learn from me. Walk with me. I'm going to show you what life is all about, Levi. I'm going to rewrite your story. Let me rewrite your story and give you a better one. Levi, even though everyone else has rejected you, I do not reject you. I invite you. Follow me. And I think more than anyone else that day, Levi was the most shocked because Jesus was giving him an invitation to a better story. Jesus was inviting him to a life that he couldn't earn or deserve. This was the invitation. Follow me. And once again, Levi found himself at the crossroads. Once again, he faced a decision. And he looked down one road and he saw all the things that he'd had so far. Riches and wealth and luxury and comfort and financial security and control over his life. All of that was there. But what he couldn't see were really the things that his heart truly longed for. And then he looked down the other road, the road that Jesus was offering him. And it was narrow, and it was dark, and it was overgrown. Few people had found it. It wasn't going to be easy. It would take a lot of effort. It would take him leaving everything else behind. But there was something about it that was full of grace and forgiveness and love, all the things that his heart had truly longed for. And at that point, Levi made a decision. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and with a breath to steady himself, he stood and he got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi made his decision. He said yes to the invitation. He left everything behind and followed Jesus. He left all of his sin, his brokenness, his mistakes, his failures, his former identity as a traitor and a sinner. And he followed Jesus, leaving everything behind, everything it would seem, except for his pen. Because we know the rest of Levi's story. Jesus would give him a new name, a new identity. He would become known as Matthew. Matthew, a name that means gift of God. That's who Jesus saw him as a gift. not as everyone else branded him. And so he would become a disciple of Jesus, and he would become the author of the Gospel of Matthew, the first biography of Jesus, the first book that we find in the New Testament, a book that God has used to bring countless people to faith. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still talking about his contribution to the church, still talking about how he helped change the world, all because at the crossroads, he chose to follow Jesus and he chose to say yes to the invitation. It was life-changing, it was life-altering, it was story-defining, and it was the best decision that he ever made. And you know, like Levi, at his crossroads of faith, when I faced my crossroads of faith, I felt a lot like him. I felt as if there was no hope for me. I wondered if there was any exit ramp off of the road that I found myself on. No, if God was real, then where was he? And how could he ever use someone like me, a doubter, someone with weak faith, someone who is considering walking away from everything? How could God use somebody like that? Could a doubter be used for anything good at all? But then there was a moment in my story that changed everything for me. It was a Tuesday night. I had an assignment for this other class. It was an assignment to go to an on-campus event and write a paper about it. And like the procrastinator that I was, I waited to the last minute. And it was a Tuesday night. The assignment was due at midnight. And the only event that I could go to on campus was something called Christian Student Fellowship. CSF. And it was something that I had been invited to many times by many different people, but I never wanted to go because even the very thought of thinking about God or you know, being around people who loved God, I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't take it. I didn't want to think about it. It just added to my anxiety and it fueled everything that was wrong in me. I didn't want to go anywhere near it. But as I sat there and as I thought about it, there was something inside of me that whispered, go. And so I went. And I got there, and the guy got up in front of everybody, and he said, hey, listen, the original speaker that we had here tonight, they're not going to be able to make it. So we brought in somebody else, a good friend of ours, last minute. She's a great speaker. She hasn't had much time to prepare, so give her some grace. But she's going to be sharing a word with you tonight. And her name was Julie. And she got up to speak, and I'm telling you, every single word was what I needed to hear. She talked about hearing from God. Hearing from God. And that was the prayer that I had prayed every single night with a desperate, halfway faith. God, where are you? Why won't you speak to me? Show me that you're real. Tell me who you are. And she spoke on that very subject, and her words gave so much life to me and helped me in ways I can't even describe. But that's not even the best part. After she finished speaking, I was so moved by everything that she said. I wanted to go up and thank her. And so I got in line behind a huge line of people, and she didn't know me. I didn't know her. She didn't know my story. She didn't know anything that I was going through. And I didn't tell her anything that I was going through. All I said was, listen, I've been going through a rough time lately. And everything that you said, it helped me so much. So I just wanted to say thank you. And then something happened that has changed my life forever. She grabbed my hands and she locked eyes with me like I imagined Jesus locked eyes with Matthew. And she said, God wants you to know that he is going to use you to change the lives of so many kids. And I broke. Because she didn't know me. And she didn't know my story. She didn't know that for years, every single week, even at that time, I was serving in Kids Creek. Every single week. She didn't know that I was involved in our student ministry up front, that I was trying to pour into the next generation, even in my season of doubt. She didn't know that about me. And so I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was God speaking directly to me. And listen, you might be here today and you might be thinking, what is all that heebie-jeebie stuff? Like, really, you think God spoke to you? I get that, I do. Listen, I'm all about the facts. I can stand up here today and I can tell you all the historical and scientific evidence for the resurrection, for why you should believe that Jesus is the Son of God, why you should believe that he died and was raised to life so that we could have new life and a better story. I can give you all of that. And eventually it was the evidence that convinced me of the truth. It was the evidence that convinced my mind. But it was Jesus' invitation and words for me in that moment that won my heart. What I learned at the crossroads was this, that the grace of the cross meets us at the crossroads. The grace of the cross meets us at the crossroads. You might be looking at your story, and you might be thinking the same things that I did, the same things that Levi did. Who could ever use me? Who could ever want me? What difference could I ever make? There's no exit ramp off of this road. There's no going back. There's no changing my story. There's no writing a better one. How could God ever use or want someone like me with my past, with my failures, with my mistakes and my brokenness, with the road that I chose to go down so long ago and feel like I can never come back from? There might be people in your life telling you the same things that they told Levi, that you're worthless, that you're no good. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus is locking eyes with you and he is telling you, you are worth everything to me. So much that I would die for your sins, take on your brokenness and your failures and your mistakes and be raised to life so that you could be raised to new life, so that you could have a better story, a hope and a future. Like Levi, you and I, we're not the obvious choice, but we are the choice that Jesus wants to make. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that we could have an opportunity to say yes to an invitation, an opportunity for a better story, for a new name, for a new identity. And John, he would put it this way. He said, to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be adopted into the family of God, to become sons and daughters of God. That is what Jesus died to give us, and that is what Jesus is inviting us into. So to those of us who have already said yes to this amazing invitation, to those of us who follow Jesus and are on that road, I want you to reflect for a moment. Where are you on that road? Where are you on that road? What is the next step that you need to take? Because faith is a journey, and the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step, and it doesn't stop with one step. It continues step after step after step. What is that next step for you? Are you walking in step with Jesus? Or are you dragging your feet behind him? Maybe your next step is baptism. It's to go public with your faith, to go public with your yes to the invitation that Jesus offered you. Maybe your next step is to serve, to not just be a consumer, but to be a contributor to the local church, to make a difference in other people's stories. Maybe your next step is to start inviting people to extend the same invitation that Jesus extended to Matthew once upon a time, to invite people in to a better story in a new life. What's your next step? But then to those of you who haven't followed Jesus yet, to those of you who have yet to say yes to the invitation, and you're standing at the crossroads of faith today, let me say again that the grace of the cross meets us at the crossroads. The grace of the cross meets you today at the crossroads of faith. Jesus is locking eyes with you. He is gazing at you. He is beholding you. And he sees you as beautiful. He sees you as worth it. He sees you as worthy. He's not looking at you with eyes of contempt, but with eyes of compassion. And he is saying to you, follow me. And to you, I ask, what road will you take? What will you say to the invitation? I believe that if Levi were alive today, he would offer you the words of Robert Frost. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. It made all the difference for Matthew. It made all the difference for me, and it can make all the difference for you. Because when we say yes to following Jesus, the story ahead of us becomes greater than the past behind us. Jesus is inviting you to take your next step of faith, to say yes to the invitation, to be renamed like Levi, to be a son, a daughter of God. So what will you say? What road will you take? Heavenly Father, for those of us who are here today feeling a lot like Levi, feeling worthless, feeling trapped on the road that we chose a long time ago, I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that we would recognize that you are gazing at us right now. You are looking at us not with eyes of contempt, but with eyes of compassion. And Father, I pray for those of us who have yet to say yes to the invitation, that we would have the courage and the boldness to say yes to following you, to invite you to be the savior of our lives, the savior of our stories, to confess our brokenness and our sin and all of our mistakes, and to receive new life that you promise us, and to be made a son, a daughter of God. And it's in Jesus' name.